Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Remember, you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. And please, 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 please tell everybody, tweet it out, email it out to everybody, that Sam and Greg are here every Sunday morning, 6 a.m. until 10. Because I don't think not everybody knows. They got to come back. We want to welcome them back. Those of you that are here and have been with us along, God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But we still need to reach out to some folks who have changed their morning radio listening habits. Maybe not going to church as much, maybe not running errands as much, but getting back out little by little, let them know, hey, man, y'all can turn Sam and Greg back on. And Greg's not producing. Yeah. He's not running in here with his high tops on trying to be Usain Bolt, you know, where Sam's by himself. It's both of them.
Yeah,
so we want to thank you for that. Also, as we do this show on this morning, well, we got a lot of things on our plate. We take a second, as we did in the beginning of the show, and acknowledge, can you believe Joe Namath is 77 years old?
Oh my goodness.
Today is Joe Willie's birthday. Yeah, Joe Willie's birthday today, along with Kenny Lofton and the goalie from the Miracle on Ice hockey team. Do you know who that was? Well, Sam,
Craig.
You're thinking.
You're
yeah, you go. There you yep. go. Let's get to our
guest. He started playing here. He played for the Flames.
See, I knew you would have some
Atlanta
kind of
Flames.
I knew that you would
there
have
you
some
go.
Kind of nugget to add. Bring our guest on, Sam.
Speaking of Atlanta, hey, you talking about it? Who loves the city? Who loves this city? And is getting set to start his second season as head football coach at Georgia Tech. Coach Jeff Collins joins us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Coach Collins, good morning to you.
Morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, bringing up the Atlanta Flames, my mom, her first job when I was a little kid was working at the Omni. And we used to go to the games, and, you know, it was a good memories.
See you there. And can you believe we're the only city to lose two hockey teams?
Right.
I mean, how does that happen?
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Coach, how have you and your family been dealing with this COVID-19 and this coronavirus time? What's it been like for you and your family?
Sure, obviously our hearts, prayers go out to everybody that's been affected by it. But we've been spending obviously a lot of time together. We've got a 4-year-old daughter; she just turned 4, and spending a ton of time with her. And one of the neat things that we've done over the last 9 weeks that we probably haven't done a lot in the previous 9 years is sat down and had dinner together every single night. And even though there's a lot of things going on in this world, that has been a nice little sliver that has been really positive for our family.
Coach, I want to read something to our audience. Some of the most meaningful moments in my life were spent standing with players, coaches, that I love and respect regardless the race, color, or creed. That was tweeted out by you yesterday. My heart aches, and we all need to take a stand to make this world a better place for everyone. I read that for you, but you put that out there, and I read that because when Sam and I were talking about this show and what we were going to talk about, we commented to each other there hasn't been many comments from coaches. And now they started to come out, but at the time that you put yours out, there weren't many. Why did you feel a need to put yours out when you did?
Sure. I love my guys. I love being a college football coach. The relationships that I've built throughout my coaching career and even my playing career, supersede any of those things, race, color, creed, anything like that. It's just men coming together, forming bonds that last a lifetime. based on character and respect and love and all of those things. And, you know, I've always built those relationships and valued those relationships and internally worked to educate our guys and, you know, help build teams and bring people from all kind of different backgrounds together, you know, to do amazing things together. And it was just on my heart really all week as I watched the news and saw what was happening in this country. And, you know, it's one thing for me to internally tell the guys how much I love them, you know, being in constant contact with them on text messages and Zooms. All of those things are important, and we do those. And it was just on my heart that I needed to, you know, be some small voice to speak to what I was feeling in my heart, what, you know, the guys that I coach every day and I coach with and coach on a daily basis, know how much I love them, know how much I respect them, know that I'm there for them in every situation, but that's internal. And I just wanted to do something externally to just show support and, you know, show that my heart is with everybody, you know, that is going through this, any kind of fear, any kind of anger, whatever the case may be. You know, I just wanted to lend my small piece to try to make this world a better place for everybody.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Coach Jeff Collins, head football coach at Georgia Tech. Speaking of the events, and he's one of the coaches that stepped out there, one of the first coaches to step out and speak out on the events of the past few days in our country, but also here in Atlanta, Coach. And I know since your arrival at Georgia Tech, your theme has been Atlanta. From the 404 caps, which I won't be one of them caps, by the way, to you, yeah, having the Waffle House food truck after practice. You embrace this city. How troubling, how troubling has it been for you to see what happened Friday night in a place that you love?
Yeah, and you know, it's no secret, like you just said, that I love Atlanta. Born and raised in Decatur, born at the Cab Memorial Hospital, which is literally 8 miles from my office at Georgia Tech, Bobby Dodd Stadium, raised on Columbia Drive, right on the east side, and just this city resonates with me, the people, you know, from all walks of life that make this city what it is. It just matters to me. I watched the press conference with Mayor Bottoms the other night. Words resonated with me, how much she loves this place, and, you know, I do as well. And whatever I can do to help this city heal, you know, to help our community heal and bring us closer together and, you know, move forward in a positive way, I'm all in to help everybody in our community make this a better place and so that everybody feels, you know, valued and loved and cared for and that they can, you know, accomplish anything they want to and all their hopes and dreams. For their family and for themselves, they have the opportunity to accomplish anything that they want, regardless of race, color, creed, or anything like that. That's on my heart, and you know, I just wanted to be some small help to anybody that needs it throughout this.
Coach Collins, Georgia Tech football, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You brought up the name of Mayor Bottoms. By the way, she is, and we say this with all due respect, and you can check out the picture. Sam put it up on his Twitter page. She is Atlanta's first mama. The way she spoke to everybody, she is. And we need to get some T-shirts. You need to wear it on the sidelines. Everybody, she is Atlanta's first mama. We started it here. Me and Sam, we get the credit for it, but somebody put some T-shirts out there. But, Coach, seriously, we wanted to ask you, as you watched the news conferences over the last couple days, were you like a parent in that you wanted to connect with your players and make sure they were okay and where they were? Did you do any of that?
So for the last 9 weeks that we've been apart, it is heart-wrenching to be away from my guys. I mean, you guys have seen the relationships that we formed with our players, how much we love them, how much we care for them, how our amazing coaching staff has handled this pandemic, and us being apart has been nothing short of amazing. We're in constant contact with our guys. We have so many different layers of relationships and group texts and different Zoom calls that we do all the time. For the last 9 weeks, every single week, I've talked to every player on our 110-man roster at least twice a week. So, and that's unheard of, that's uncommon, but I think it's important to have those connections. But then you get into this past week where it's been heartbreaking and things have been happening all over the country and in our great city, and those relationships, you know, I listen to Mayor Bottoms, and ever since I've been a head football coach, I've had sleepless nights. You know, you have, you worry about your guys, you worry about them going out, you worry about them getting in situations that you're not around them, and you just think of them and pray for them, and your heart aches for them. And last night, even 12:30 in the morning, as I'm sitting there watching everything transpire on TV and on social media, I'm in constant contact with our guys, our leadership group, the coaching staff, and just making sure they know how much they're valued, how much they're loved, and that we're here for them 24 hours a day, you know, during this time and all other times. We had a leadership meeting Friday morning. It was myself, our head strength coach, Lou Corrala, Tashard Choice, Georgia Tech legend running back, and now he's our running back coach, Kerry Dixon, our receivers coach, and Demo, Derek Moore, who's our team chaplain. We got on with the 25 guys on our leadership committee and just were very transparent, had real intimate conversations, deep conversations about the state of the world and our place in it and how we can collectively be there for each other. And, you know, it was a powerful meeting. I'm blessed that I get to coach with some of the best men in America on a daily basis and help us all get through this together.
Coach Collins, we know how you feel about your team and how passionate you are about being next to them and how much you want to get back out there. But overall,
yes,
are you comfortable with the timeline of college football and what they're saying as far as returning?
Well, the big thing is I think we've got an amazing athletic director, amazing president of our great institution. There's so many different things that are being put in place for the health and safety of our student-athletes, that we are making sure the phases that we're introducing our guys back to the facility, and even our coaches for that matter, the steps that we're taking to make sure their health and their safety and their care is the utmost priority in every decision that we make, I think it's really good. We're basing it on science, and we're basing it on the things that we can incrementally put in place so that our guys return to the facility, they're safe and they're healthy and they're cared for, and we've got all the systems in place for it to be successful.
That's Coach Jeff Collins joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Coach Collins, we appreciate you joining us so much this morning. I know you can't wait for your players to get back so you can see them in person,
sir,
and have them in front of you and you guys get some workouts and get set for that season opener against Clemson. We thank you so much for your time and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you, Coach.
Especially the events in our country in the last couple of days, especially here in your hometown.
Yes, thanks, guys, for having me on. It means a lot.
Appreciate it. Stay safe, man.
Yes,
all right. That
yes,
is
sir.
Coach. That is Coach Jeff Collins. Great to have the coach on.
You know, the one thing I would imagine
know, and
that
he's doing,
I would imagine that he's wishing he could be a part of, because this is what we've seen in the past. Anytime there's any kind of disturbance, you know, as far as cleanup that's needed within the city, a lot of times Georgia Tech and their players, basketball and football, will come out into the community, much like Chris Draft. But with the pandemic, you have to watch how close you can get to the people. So it's sort of a bittersweet situation going on here. But that's one of the things I would absolutely guarantee that he probably wants some of his guys to be a part of the cleanup, especially right down there because it's not far from Tech.
You're right. Right. There's right up there, just a few blocks away. A lot of stuff happened. Maybe they'll do that once the players return. Let's see.
We are going to make a left turn, so to speak, into NASCAR talk. There's a big race coming up later today, and when we want to talk NASCAR, there's only one person we connect with, Adam Alexander from FS1. He's going to join us next, Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Have you heard the story of the
morning?
Remember, you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. That always just reminds me of Dukes of Hazzard. And then when you think of Dukes of Hazzard, you think stock cars and then you think racing. And that's how I came to this, getting into this segment. How about you, Sam? Does it spur on the same memories? Come on, I'm looking for somebody to go out to go down this rabbit hole with me. I'll buy you lunch. You can tell me who the singer is. Who did this song? Is one of those obscure things that stuck with me. Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Air.
Commander Cody.
Yeah.
I forget the name, but I knew Commander Cody. I forgot the last part of the band.
The question.
But
is,
but you know what? I bet our guest could tell us.
I was just gonna say, we'll see if he knows. Friend of the show, and we talk NASCAR. We got to bring him on, Adam Alexander. Morning, partner.
How are you guys doing? I'm just sitting here on hold and I'm thinking, I hope they get this problem solved before they get to me. That's what I was thinking the whole time on hold.
So in other words, if this was, you could be a millionaire, you would have had to phone a friend for that answer, huh?
New rule, Adam's a guest. He can only talk about things that he knows about and not any of the other trivial items that you guys have on the show. That's just a new rule. It's a new rule.
Okay. Hey man, we've asked you before, but the folks weren't here with us. How are you doing this past week, dealing with the pandemic and your health? And I know you're bopping from track to track and every week, and you guys are really own the sports world for the most part, the races with NASCAR. But how are you doing physically?
No, everything's going great. I think it's more than anything, it's just been good to get back and find that routine. You know, it's so hard, as everybody knows, and none of us are any more unique than the other, and that we've all had to hit curveballs and adjust and find a new way, and staying at home for such a long period of time was difficult, and so now to be back in somewhat of a normal flow is great. Not only to have, you know, a form of sports back, which I'm a sports fan well beyond NASCAR, it's not only great to have competition back and have something to talk about and all that, but it's just good to be finding a little bit of a routine and have something to do that makes it feel like life somewhat normal.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Adam Alexander from FS1 and Fox Sports NASCAR coverage. They are at Bristol today, but what a week. This past week, going back to last Sunday, great competition, a little drama, a bounty placed on a driver, and then for us here in Georgia, a lot of excitement and pride because our home folks won not once but twice. Pretty good week out there you had up in Charlotte.
It really was, and the only hiccup, I think, is we had about an hour, a little over an hour rain delay for the Coke 600, which made that long event even longer, and you hate to see that. And then, of course, Wednesday night, Bertha was moving through the tropical storm that kept us from racing Wednesday and pushed the Cup race to Thursday night. Other than that, I think that the four races would end up being four races in 5 days instead of four races in 4 days. Everything went really well, and weather has been the only hiccup that has impacted NASCAR's return when you even go back to a couple of weeks ago at Darlington. So I know that there were a lot of unknowns, and we've talked about this, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago when teams were getting ready to return to Darlington, and the fact that they've been able to battle through not only the many unknowns in this return, but get through some difficult weather challenges. Everyone has stayed safe. There have been no reports of any illness in the garage or positive tests in regard to the COVID-19. So I think, all things considered, NASCAR's got to be really, really happy with what's happened in their return.
How happy would you say NASCAR is that Chase Elliott finally got that monkey off his back and won? He'd had some real just close defeats and just, you know, one of those things we couldn't break through. And also taking it to the black hat. This is what we call, you know, Mr. Bush, because you got to have that yin and yang on the circuit. But the importance of of Chase Elliott ascending there and maybe being one of the young stars that not only we see more often in the winner's circle, but bringing people to the TV.
Well, I'm just so encouraged that not only you know, if he won, which he needed to win, and it was a big bounce back for him given the scenario of how things had worked out at Darlington on Wednesday night and then in the Coke 600 with the caution coming out late and the whole pitch strategy deal. I felt like it was important for that team to win to move forward. And obviously they did that. But I think the most encouraging thing to me is that he's got a chance to win now on a regular basis. And there was a time where it was like he's the sport's most popular driver, but the statistics aren't necessarily matching up with the reputation and the fanfare. And I think now we are starting to see him really come into his own. And he's a player on a regular basis. He's leading laps. He's a part of the equation. And he's not just doing it at certain types of tracks. He's doing it everywhere. And so I really think what's happening right now is the maturation of a young superstar. Someone is really starting to fill out on the confidence side of things. And I have to say, he's what you want as a driver and as a teammate. If things don't go his way at Darlington, he gets turned by Kyle Busch. He shows what a competitor he is and how frustrated and disappointed he is, and I love that emotion. And then you fast forward a week later to the Coke 600, and the strategy doesn't work out, and he has some bad luck, and it's his teammate who spins out, and it's his crew chief who decides to pit instead of stay on the racetrack, and he ends up losing the race, and he handles it like a true professional and doesn't put any blame on anybody and then comes back the next race and wins. I mean, I think all of that is just a sign of who he is and where he is and what opportunities lie ahead for him.
He is your host weeknights for Race Hub on FS1. Of course, he's on the play-by-play call for the Xfinity Series from NASCAR. Adam Alexander joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Adam, you're at Bristol now. Next week, they roll into Atlanta as NASCAR starts to catch up some of those dates that got postponed early. It's a grind. What do you feel is the key for the teams? You know, obviously, you've been having the nighttime race and the prime time. That's been good. You've been able to unload the cars off the haulers and put them right out there in the race. It's been something different. It's been fun to watch for me to see the teams make those adjustments on the fly. Thoughts about that continuing going forward? Now you got a different type of track today, and you're going to have a different type of track again next week.
Today will be very interesting, I think, because Bristol is the first short track that we will have seen this year, and so these are cars that are all freshly built since we've been, you know, going through this pandemic. And I think, you know, drivers have not been faced with going out and racing with no practice, no qualifying on a short track. Will that be different? And if so, how will it be different and what adjustments will they have to make? So I think today is a very interesting time for these teams, and we'll go short track racing again next Wednesday at Martinsville in the same situation. So I think today will be very interesting in that regard. I think when it comes to Atlanta, that one's not as challenging as you would believe because it's a high wear, mile-and-a-half track, and we've been to those kinds of racetracks. And when we saw that at Darlington, that's an intermediate that obviously has high wear. Charlotte's another intermediate track. So I think Atlanta next week, I wouldn't anticipate there being any issues, but I've got great anticipation in watching, you know, how they handle Bristol today, and the traction compound. That's the liquid that's put down to help the grip on the racetrack. Everyone has always said that's almost like ice at Bristol when you get on it before the heat gets in it that really starts working in. With no practice, no qualifying, it could be treacherous early in that race.
Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. But talk about next week's race here in Atlanta. I want to get your opinions about somebody because we thought we were going to we did the proper send-off for our man and a friend of the show, Ed Clark, Atlanta Motor Speedway president, who was retiring. And that wasn't the case. They didn't get a chance to have that race early in the year. But now this is his final race. This will be the final race at Atlanta Motor Speedway with him as acting president. I know he's still going to have some presence out there. For you, who've covered this sport for as long as you have, and Ed Clark being as visible as he has, just take a second, if you can, and let our audience know what sort of contribution and how Ed Clark is looked upon in the racing community.
Well, the one thing I would say about Ed is when you look at the era of racing that he has played, the role he's played at Atlanta Motor Speedway, it speaks to his versatility, his ability to adapt, and just his overall knowledge of how to handle various circumstances. Because I think the sport, and not just NASCAR, but motorsports in general, has gone through so many changes in the last 10 to 15 years, that if you were in a position like Edge, you had to think outside the box. You had to be willing to adjust, and I think he's always been willing to do that. And so I think it speaks to who he is as a professional. But I think far beyond being able to do the job and do all the things that I just talked about, I think what's great about Ed, and you said it, I mean, he's very visible. And I know, and I wouldn't be critical of anyone who plays the role that Ed plays at a racetrack, but I think the one thing that Ed has always done that separates him and puts him in a unique category is his ability to interact with people at every level, whether it's the executives at SMI, you know, Marcus Smith and Greg Walter and his group, whether it's the executives at NASCAR, Steve Phelps, Steve O'Donnell. Maybe it's those on the competition side. You see Ed in the garage talking to the teams and the drivers. I know from a media and a television perspective, we have always had great access to Ed, and he's always come to us and making sure that we had what we needed. So I think personally, he understands that people are what make the difference, and he's always invested in people at every level. And I think because of that, it's given him the knowledge he needs when he gets into the grandstands or he walks into the suites and he sees the fans and the patrons that are making it work. He has all the tools he needs to educate them on where they're at and where they're going. So I think he's done an unbelievable job of handling his business, and certainly will be tough to see him go.
Spending time with Adam Alexander from FS1. One more question before we let you go. We talk about Ed Clark is outgoing. So is Jimmy Johnson. Seems like he's come back from this little time off, and this car and his team are competing better. Thoughts on him possibly getting the win here sometime in the near future?
I think it's going to happen. I think if you're going to win in the Cup Series, you've got to be knocking on the door. You've got to be in the hunt. You have to have the speed. And I think, as you said, certainly has proved it here in the last, you know, couple of weeks that since the return to the track, you know, they've got what it takes. Those Hendrick cars have been really, really fast. And I think that he's putting himself in all the right positions. They haven't had a lot of luck. I know he was second at Charlotte in the 600, and then they got penalized and failed post-race inspection. So, you know, their luck has not been great, but I think they've got fast cars and they're putting themselves in all the right positions. And when you're doing that, eventually, I think, you know, things are going to fall your way and you've got a chance. So I'd be real surprised if Jimmy doesn't win sooner rather than later.
There's racing coming up, the Cup Series race coming up later today from Bristol. As NASCAR continues its role, they're the only game in town, folks. They're just dominating things right now. And Adam Alexander, we thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. Always great to talk racing with you.
Thank you, Adam.
Sam, Greg, thanks for having me. You guys have a great weekend.
You too, you too. And no more silly questions. All we right, won't put him right on that spot.
No, don't do that to him. It's great to have Adam on with us. That was great information, and looking forward to see the racing come up. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about other things coming up today, and maybe put a wrap on a different and unique show that we've had for you this morning when we continue. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, available through the radio.com app or your smartphones and all your smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg. Remember to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. On this day where we have mentioned his Joe Namath's 77th birthday, we also lost a former baseball player here. One of the greatest names in sports history, Biff Pokoroba. Biff Pokoroba. Yeah,
former Braves catcher.
Yeah, he was,
Biff
man.
Biff Pokoroba this week, yeah.
He passed away age 66. Mm-hmm. He played 10 years for the Braves. Dale Murphy tweeted out some remembrances of him, so wanted to make sure we got that. And there's something else that I was going to mention to Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins when he was on. He seemed to have dodged the comments from last week's match for charity, meaning he and Georgia Tech. But yet Georgia wasn't spared, nor were the Falcons. And I'm sure this is something the guys Monday through Friday had talked about.
Yeah.
For those who didn't see it, but yet the match last week, it didn't take Peyton Manning very long to take a shot at UGA. Because somebody had asked him about Tiger Woods' colors and Tiger, just something about Tiger. And Peyton made the comment about having to look at Tiger in them Georgia colors. And, you know, they were asking, well,
Peyton. And he mentioned Kirby Smart, too.
Well, he said
Kirby Smart.
He says, well, Peyton, it's a red shirt Sunday. Why couldn't you wear a red shirt? And he goes, with these dark pants, I look like I played for Georgia. He says, I can't have that. I can't have Kirby Smart taking a picture of me in Georgia colors. Are you curious? So he took a shot at him. And then Brady took a shot at the Falcons when he was asked about, you know, are you worried about something? Anyway, he took a shot at him and said, I'm not worried about the Falcons. I worry about the Eagles, but not the Falcons. So yeah, two shots directed at Georgia from that event last week. can I make a statement also as we just finished up with Adam Alexander too, talking about the NASCAR races.
Go ahead.
And again, it's amazing to me. This seems to be a landing spot for some people whose second career is as noted as their first. And we mentioned Joe Gibbs. Well, I mean.
Right.
He's in two Hall of Fames, right? So when you talk about
what
we know he did in the NFL level, and the guy's got three rings with three different quarterbacks, and just the longevity of his time as coaching in the NFL, and then just transitions seamlessly into the NASCAR world and has become one of the preeminent people in that sport. I won't just say owners. There's people. In that sport. And the other person now, and I just touched on him earlier because I got to remember that he's now a part of NASCAR, and that's Brad Daugherty.
Yeah.
Do you think he has the same respect?
He's always been passionate about NASCAR, and his, all the way down to his jersey number that he wore in school, and his jersey number was the same as Richard Petty's car. 443, and that was the reason for that. You know, he's from Asheville, North Carolina, so he's a North Carolina native, and that's what he grew up enjoying and passionate. And once he was done as a player, he got involved in various different ways as a team owner, but also in commentary for NASCAR. So yeah, Brad Daugherty, he's big on racing and also big on diversity in racing.
Yes, he is.
So yeah, he's one of those people that they think about. Yep.
Anyway, Sam McGregor, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As you look back on this show and the comments from different people, man, is there anything that stands out for you? Because we could talk about the NASCAR race that's coming up, but the issues that we have spent the last 4 hours touching on, not going too deep with it. We've let that for others. Chris Draft got into it pretty deep. Man, Greg Street went to the bottom of the ocean. You're going to get a show from him tomorrow night on V103.
Greg, if you missed it earlier in the 7 o'clock hour, Greg Street, who comes on nightly at 6 o'clock on V103, one of the most popular guys, and I don't care what part of town you're in, people love Greg Street.
Yes, they do.
And he just spoke from the heart. He spoke from the heart this morning, and there'll be more of that on the show. And when we get him back, we'll get him to talk about fishing. At the end, he talked about a fishing show he's going to have.
Yeah.
You know, how about that? He buried the lead.
I know, and I told him I'm going to try and get him in some movies or TV shows. And he's like, yeah, well, that'd be nice, but I got my own thing working. The dude's a renaissance man.
Yeah.
He really is. And speaking of burying the lead, let's talk about something and direct people to our website. And if not there, you know exactly where to find them. We had in our 6 o'clock hour, Spencer Smith. Now, Spencer is the head of the Georgia Football Officials Association. And we were talking about as we have talked about athletes getting back to their craft and how much time it's going to take for them in spring training and just workouts getting set, officials have to go through the whole thing. Well, during our conversation with him, we asked him, because there's always a need for more officials. and how tough it is. And we've done shows on the things that officials got to put up with on all levels. So it's tough for them to stay doing what they did. But we asked him specifically about the need for officials. And, you know, we didn't ask him to give the amount out, but he talked about how much they make. Folks, there are jobs. During this time where people are losing their jobs, they're still looking for jobs, and we know about the unemployment rate, this body, this governing body, needs people to be officials. You're not going to make a lot of money, but you can make some money. And it seems like it's the kind of job that, with the exception on weekends, you're doing mostly at night. So you could probably have another job during the day, and then they go officiate games in the evening. Would you say that's correct, Sam?
That is correct. That is correct. You know, some have their regular jobs, regular vocation, but in the evenings when the fall rolls around, and that's at the different levels. You know, you got officiating at the high school. You usually will have a JV game. You might have a ninth grade or middle school game. They all need officials. And as he mentioned, they're adding girls flag football. So there's even more opportunities to work, to sharpen your craft. So they're looking for new people, and they'll help you. And, you know, they'll bring you along, and you get mentors. They'll tutor you, and you'll be up to speed and ready to go when the season starts. So there's always a great need for people to join the officiating. And, you know, if you get into it, you may like it and say, you know what? Let's see if I can make it to another level. And
exactly.
You get your way up, and you're doing college football, you know. And so there's the gateway to it. And he offers that each and every time he comes to be on with us. So I hope the officials around the state are able to be sharp and ready when they say we're going to start playing the football games. We can't have the games without them.
Can they just go to the GFOA?
GFOA. GFOA.
Website.
He say GFOA Pro. Go to GFOA Pro, and you can go there, and there's a place where you can fill out your information, and they'll be happy to bring you on board.
Okay. Sam and Greg, Switch Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm actually looking forward to some more racing. I really have it. Last week I talked about sitting down and watching, you know, NASCAR go at it at Charlotte. Again, thinking about what could have been last weekend with the Indy 500 and then the Coca-Cola 600. Tony Stewart, I always have memory of Tony Stewart jumping in that private jet and going from one event to the other and make it in there. And that was, even though I didn't like Tony Stewart, because he was, like I said, he was Kyle Busch before Kyle Busch, and, you know, post Dale Earnhardt,
he was the guy
wearing the black hat. But I was always intrigued that he went and made that work. So we have that today. Is that what you're going to sit down and check out, man?
Yeah, I'm going to check that out and check that out. I want to say something else about somebody else that was on the show with us, though, Chris Draft. And Chris always brings us something profound whenever we have him on the show, but especially in the times that we're dealing with now in the city, and the vantage point that he had there living near Centennial Olympic Park to see everything. The fact that he made it and compared it to football, and the fact that, you know, what is needed is a playbook, and it seemed like, you know, that's allowed people to take the narrative away. And that's the thing, when you have the negativity that goes along with it, you kind of dilute a little bit of the narrative of the original intended purpose. And I think that's what Chris was really trying to convey, was his concern and frustration with the way things have gone down, not only here, but in other places around the country. Getting the playbook was something I thought that I'd take away from our conversation with him today, just for better organization.
Yeah, the pictures continue to come in, and you said it to me earlier. He's right down there by the Children's Museum. Who breaks into a Children's Museum?
Yeah.
Who busts into that place?
What purpose is that? Yeah.
Too much time on your hands. And just, well, again, we've also found out that most of these folks ain't from Atlanta either.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing that causes, you know, concern for both Chris and for Coach Collins, two people who dearly love this city and, know how special this place is. You know, if other people don't value those things, that's when stuff like this happens. Breaking windows at a children's museum. That, you know, what's the point in doing that? But like I said before, we will recover. We will rise. The symbol of our city is the phoenix rising from the ashes. Remember, this place was burned before, and a lot of people don't want to bring that memory up, but this is nothing compared to then. But if this city rose from that to become the great city that we enjoy, I'm not saying this is nothing. We definitely bounce back from this. Yeah. You know, I ain't got all the confidence in the world. We will. Yeah. Thanks to First Mama. We followed behind First Mama.
By the way, we better get credit for that. I better get credit for that because I'm the one that sent you the picture first. But I'll let you piggyback with me because, you know, we're a team, right? And I sent you that. Did you tweet that picture out?
I retweeted it when you
retweeted it again. Yeah, even Gil Tyree retweeted it. Yeah, that's Atlanta's First Mama. And I took a picture with her the day she got
she won the election, right?
She won the election. So, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, tweet that out. We need to get that on T-shirts, and we need to get it around the country. Be sure to put Sam and Greg. And we just, you know, our proceeds will go to charity, right? We ain't trying to make money off this, right? We'll take the money. We'll put it to charity. All right, listen, we got to end with something. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 929thegame.com. We'll take you guys behind the curtain. The three of us are prepping for this show, Sam, me, and Jahi. And I make a statement because we like to have little nuggets just in case, you know, we don't get a guest or for whatever reason. And I brought up the fact that I have just thoroughly enjoyed seeing Mike Tyson visible again and the footage of him training or at least just spending some time doing, you know, making some moves and you seeing how much weight he lost and what kind of shape he's in. And then, of course, you get that conversation going. And, I mean, this started just about a week before the big charity event that took place last weekend with the match for charity. He had the biggest heavy hitters in football and in golf playing. $20 million they raised. So they got me thinking, if Mike Tyson, and of course the conversation started with him and Evander Holyfield possibly getting back into the ring. Well, we know Mike is training and he's going to be a part of some wrestling event. But the three of us got behind the curtain yesterday and started talking about this. And I said to Sam, A, I would love to see that happen if Evander could get his stuff together and then somebody would come and promote this a charity event for, well, you figure out where the money goes, you know, coronavirus relief or wherever. But Mr. Crenshaw doesn't think that it would make any money or not much money. I said it would equal, if not more, than what was raised last week in $20 million. Sam didn't think so. Jahi agreed with me. But, I mean, why would you not want to see Mike Tyson back in the ring for a charity event, knowing how this guy is the last person in the boxing world that brought people to the TV that weren't hardcore boxing fans? Mr. Crenshaw.
Oh, I don't. You asking me that?
I'm asking you that.
Yeah, because he looks great hitting the dude with some mitts on that's not hitting him back. That's great. I have no interest in seeing it. I'm not that curious.
Well, see. You'd be in the minority there, because I truly believe were that to happen, if they could work it out where Evander and him got back in the ring, given their history, and given the way Tyson looks right now, yeah, he's not going up against Tyson Fury. Although somebody did reach out to him, and didn't get any answer back. But man, Mike Tyson back in the ring, that would be something that would make a lot of money. We want to thank Jahi. Just mentioned him a second ago, our producer, for dealing with us last few days as we try to put this show together. Want to thank him. Want to thank our guests, Chris Draft, you mentioned, Spencer Smith, Greg Street, and Adam Alexander. Mr. Crenshaw, I say to
and
you.
Coach Collins.
And Coach Collins. I didn't highlight his name here. Georgia Tech football coach. That's right. Want to thank everybody for getting up and being a part of the show. You, sir, Mr. Crenshaw, have a safe and happy week.
You do as well. Stay safe. Stay well.
Everybody else, you also be very safe out there. Appreciate you putting up with this. This is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We gonna be all right. Do you hear me? Do
you feel me? We gonna be all right. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.